Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the propaganda wars when we come back. You know, when the federal income tax was launched back in 1913, the tax was levied only upon the super wealthy, the richest one-half of 1% of our population, with a top tax rate of only 7%. Today, of course, the fears of those early opponents of the income tax have been more than fully realized. By the end of Herbert Hoover's term, the top tax rate had jumped to 60%. And by the time Franklin Roosevelt was done, the top tax rate was over 90%, and the tax had been dramatically expanded to seize the incomes of the middle class for the first time. And in 1913, the average family had to work until January 30th to earn enough to satisfy the tax man at all levels. This year, the average American family will have to work all the way through May 12th in order to earn enough to pay their federal, state, and local tax bills. Now, when you compare this to the plight of medieval serfs, says economist Daniel J. Mitchell, they only had to give the lord of the manor a third of their output and they were considered slaves. So what does that make us today? Now, this income tax and Social Security tax violate 3 of the 10 commandments and 8 statutes of the Old Covenant, including our English common law. This income tax and Social Security tax are 2 criminal activities. This income tax is the second plank to the Communist Manifesto, and Social Security is the 8th plank to the Communist Manifesto. And that's why I contend that you owe it to yourself to at least ask the question, do I really want to participate in this kind of criminal activity? If you'd like more information about tax and status, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now be sure to ask for our free general law CD package while you're at it. That's a 4-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and it's also free of charge. Now, tax and status, our school is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, you can go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Or you can click onto the email and send us an email request for your free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we're talking about propaganda wars. Now, this is a book written by Alvin A. Snyder. Now, he's an insider. He's a fellow that's telling us past tense, past history, about how the United States used the United States Information Agency and its various agencies and the news media around the world for propaganda purposes. And propaganda is nothing more than lies. Sometimes those lies are the truth. And so they built that out and they say, well, see, now that's a true fact. So they tell you some true facts and they mix them with some false facts. And then this gives us a faulty conclusion. And that's the way propaganda works. Now, they call that spin. This thing called spin, it's actually lies and deception. And we're all part and parcel with it, and we all participate in it, whether we like it or not. Colin Powell's presentation to the United States, that was some truth and some error, and it gave us a false perception of the threat from the Iraqis. And then we went to war. Now, after the fact, we can see that this has become damaging and harmful to us. But at the time, it seemed like the logical thing to do, didn't it? And the same thing with that war in Afghanistan, the war with the Russians and the Afghanis, and the various maneuverings that have been going on over the last century. All of these things are working together to create a new world order, a new world government. and all of us are actors on the stage. I think it was Shakespeare made that observation, that we're all actors on a stage, and that we all, in our lifetimes, have our little bit parts to play. All right, so you have your little bit part, and I have my little bit part, and God tells us the whole world has been deceived in Revelation 12, verse 9. Now, if that statement's true, then you've been deceived just like I have. And the difference is, I guess, is that I have said, okay, I admit I've been deceived. Now, what do I have to do to get squared around so that I can understand what the meaning of all this lying and deception is? Now, I remember last time we were talking about the golden age, the 1980s, 1980 through 1988 was the golden age of propaganda. Now, people have asked me how I discovered this very effective public servant. Ronald Reagan said affectionately at a dinner honoring Wick, who was the head of the U.S. Information Agency in 1988, who by then had served longer than any other USIA director. I just look for someone who, with the balance of two qualities, a greatness of vision and yet still able to understand Washington. And when I found the man who would produce the classic film that combined Snow White and the Three Stooges, I said, I have found the right man. So President Reagan said this guy Wick was the real instigator of it, the real brains or the real genius behind it. Now Reagan had seen to it that Wick was given all of the resources that he needed. And during Wick's 8 years as director of the USIA's expenditures increased from $486 million to $820 million annually. Wick knew that he would make his greatest impact with television, and so my annual budget soared from just over $6 million when I joined the agency in 82 to almost $37 million when I left in 88. I also had served longer than anyone in the job up to that point or since. Now, recently declassified Russian documents illustrate the importance that Yuri Andropov and Mikhail Gorbachev and their aides placed on the manipulation of the international media to promote Soviet policies. Now, let me underline that for you. Notice the manipulation of the international media. Now, if during the 80s, the international media could be manipulated, do you believe that that manipulation suddenly stopped at some point in the past? Now mull that one over for a minute. If the Reagan administration, through this fellow here, the author, this insider, Alvin A. Snyder, says, we were manipulating the BBC in 1984. We were manipulating the Voice of America. We were manipulating CNN. We were manipulating ABC and CBS. Well, what makes you think then that Katie Couric isn't being just as manipulated today as Walter Cronkite was or Dan Rather was back in the 80s and the 70s and the 60s? Huh? No, the government has been manipulating the news media for a long time. What we see here is the admission from an insider that, yeah, that's what we were doing. And then when he writes the book, he says, well, that's a chapter that's now closed, and now it's all over, and so now we can get on with life. And this is another part of the big lie. Go back to sleep. Everything's all right. It's all over now. As if the telephone bugging that began in 1963 by building the microphone right into your telephone now stops and they're not listening to us anymore. No, I tell you, boys and girls, that the manipulation of people comes from this propaganda. They are manipulating us. They manipulate us in the elections. They manipulate us in our businesses. They manipulate us in our family affairs. They manipulate us through television sitcoms. You know, the motivation behind it is that they've got a goal in mind. And agencies of government, people that control those agencies, and presidents of the United States, and presidents and prime ministers around the world, they are manipulating their populations. You people up in Canada, you're getting manipulated just like we are. And you people down in Australia and New Zealand, you're being manipulated just like we are. It's just different group of people that's doing the manipulation. Now, how does that benefit you, or how does that harm you? Well, in your everyday lives, you go to work, you commute down the freeway, and we don't see the manipulation. We don't see any adverse or deleterious effects upon us, in our day-to-day lives. But the overall outcome of this is very deleterious. It's gonna kill you. And that's because there's a goal, there's a game plan, there's a program that's being worked out here on planet Earth, and it's called the Great Tribulation. And there's a guy that's at the helm of that. It's the creator of the universe himself. And he's told us a time or two here in the scripture, now here's what my plan is. And then he's revealed to us, says, now you can't believe all these politicians and these lying hypocrites down here that are manipulating you. But you can believe me. Now, of course, we don't believe God. We believe the lying, manipulating politicians and the news media. We got this kind of backwards. Now, how is that going to harm us, or how is it going to help us? Now, these are questions, that affect all of us, whether we like it or not. And this guy here is giving us a good inside track, a good inside piece of information about how this has been done in the past. This manipulation of international media to promote Soviet policies, and how much Reagan's public posturing on such issues as targeting Russia with Euro missiles and Soviet human rights abuses confounded, outraged, and distracted Kremlin leaders. What do you think George Bush is planning to put these missiles and missile defense shield in Poland and Czechoslovakia is doing today? I mean, Reagan was doing it in the 80s. Bush is doing it now, today, right in front of our eyeballs. How does this affect the Russian leadership today? And how is that going to affect international geopolitics over the next 10, 20, 30 years? See, that book hasn't been written yet, but it's being played out right now, today. Now, if we could get an insight into what they did in the past, it would help us a great deal in understanding Bible prophecy and what these clowns have in store for us over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Now, here's the USIA's exploitation of the international media on these and other issues clearly made, and they made it more difficult for Gorbachev to marshal public support throughout the fragile communist bloc of nations for his reform programs, and eroded his support at home. Internal secret documents detailing meetings of Soviet leaders, many of which relate to propaganda issues, have been released by Russian President Boris Yeltsin and made available through the Library of Congress and the Cold War International History Project of the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. And I will refer to these records, to recently declassified documents from the State Department and the USIA, and to my own notes of the many sessions that I personally attended with Soviet leaders. Propagandizing means advocating a point of view favorable to one's own position, and that's precisely what we at the USIA, that's the United States Information Agency, did. The British government, too, admitted the venerable BBC's overseas service was a weapon of propaganda consisting of British views concerning the news. All right, pause. If that's what the BBC was in the 1980s, do you mean to tell me that the BBC today has stopped doing that and they're no longer propagandizing and using that as a weapon? They're not using the BBC anymore. They quit doing that? I mean, hell, if you believe that, you're a candidate for a mental hospital. No, the tools of the past may be obsolete. Battleships are obsolete, but navies aren't. War isn't. Yeah, it's true that maybe the old BBC and the modalities that were being used in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s are obsolete and that they're no longer being used, but that doesn't mean that the BBC hasn't been replaced by some newer, more all-pervasive propaganda tool. Now, propaganda's been going on since ancient times. The Assyrians used to use it. They didn't have newspapers and radio and television, but they used propaganda to defeat their enemies back in Assyrian times. They were great. Reported in the Bible. They were great at it. So, the British views concerning news, and I had no problem with practicing advocacy journalism because I felt we were transmitting good propaganda. Well, of course. Excuse me. Hold it a minute. Good propaganda? These are good lies. When a Chinese propagandist is advocating good propaganda for China, good lies for China, does that mean that it's good lies for the Japanese or the South Koreans or the Americans or somebody else? So good lies for America or good lies for Canada, good lies for Australians, you know, does that necessarily mean that it's good lies for anybody else? So these guys have good lies and bad lies. Bad lies are when your opponents are lying about you, but good lies are when you're lying about your opponents. An exaggerated version of the truth, perhaps. I like that. It's an exaggerated version of the truth. These people are liars. They're paid professional liars. Our government is a paid professional lying institution that hires paid professional liars to go out and lie to people all around the world. Well, then, what makes you think that they're telling you the truth? They're just lying to the communists, but they're telling you Democrats the truth. So all you Democrats out there, you've got it, but the Republicans have their heads up their hineys. Is that what you believe? Huh? Now, I would later learn that many of us at the USIA were often duped by government officials from the intelligence community, the White House, the State Department, and the Pentagon into transmitting lies, disinformation, without realizing it at the time. We became unknowing warriors of disinformation, and then we became knowing ones. All right, now that's quite a little admission there. Let me read that to you again. Now, here's the guy. Here's the author. Listen to this author now. His name is Alvin A. Snyder, and he worked at the U.S. Information Agency. And he said, we were putting out good propaganda. We were putting out good lies for our enemies. We were putting out an exaggerated version of the truth, perhaps, but still fundamentally it was the truth. You know, fundamentally it's the truth. So let's take 10 facts. 8 of the facts that we're putting out are the truth. 2 of the facts that we're putting out are lies. This leads us to a conclusion. Is this conclusion true or false? Now, this is what this guy does for a living. This is what this guy's trained to do. He's a trained professional liar. I would later learn that many of us at the USIA were often duped by government officials from the intelligence community, the White House, the State Department, and the Pentagon into transmitting lies. Here's a guy who was supposed to be a paid professional liar, and he says, gee, sometimes we got lied to. We were duped. Well, if the paid professional liars are getting duped, well, what happens to us truck drivers and housewives and plumbers and carpenters and electricians out here? I mean, hell, this guy's a paid professional, and he's getting lied to, and he's getting duped. He believes the lies that are being put out by the White House. Well, gee, welcome to reality. Isn't that what happened to all of us as it related to 9/11 when we watched the Nova film? Isn't that what happened to all of us while we watched Colin Powell testifying before the United Nations? Weren't we all lied to and duped? And so now we're going to vote for Barack Obama. Did you think that Barack Obama, when he becomes president of the United States, is going to tell us the truth? Or do you think maybe he might be another paid professional liar, just like Bush and Clinton and Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan and all the presidents before us? There's an interesting little thing here, a little ditty up front that I gotta read to you. This is from Ronald Reagan. You know, the great communicator. Ronald Reagan was speaking of the Voice of America at the Voice of America's 40th anniversary ceremonies in Washington, D.C. on February the 24th, 1982. And here's what Ronald Reagan said. He said, "More than 40 years ago, I was a pioneer in radio, a sports announcer, and I found myself broadcasting Major League Baseball games from telegraphed reports. I was not at the stadium. Now, if the game was rather dull, you could say, it's a hard hit ball down towards second base. The shortstop is going over after the ball and makes a wild stab, picks it up, turns, and gets him out just in time. Now, I submit to you that I told the truth. If he was out from shortstop to first, and I don't know whether he really ran over toward second base and made a one-handed stab, or whether he just squatted down and took the ball when it came to him. But the truth got there. And in other words, it can be attractively packaged. So you can take the truth and you can package it attractively to make people believe something that never actually happened. You know, like weapons of mass destruction, or like a terrorist attack on the Twin Towers. Now, I don't doubt that the Twin Towers were destroyed. I don't doubt that there was an attack. But, you know, was it an attack by Arab terrorists, or was it an attack by the CIA? Or by the FBI? Or by the Air Force? Or, you know, I don't know. But we do know this. Those two towers were not brought down by those airplanes. They were brought down by explosive charges that were set throughout the buildings. Now, that much we do know. I mean, unless you're totally out of touch with reality and you haven't seen any of the tapes or any of the CDs concerning that, especially Building 7 and Silverstein's admissions on Building 7 at 4:30 in the afternoon. Now, the Twin Towers are nothing more than an extension of the same propaganda campaign that we saw concerning Pearl Harbor, the same propaganda we saw concerning the Lusitania and the sinking of the battleship Maine in Havana Harbor. All of those were false flag attacks for the express purpose of creating in the minds of Americans, or creating in the minds of people in general, a basis for going to war against Spain in 1898. Or going to war against Germany in 1917, or going to war against Japan in 1941. These are false flag operations that have a motive behind them. So God comes along and says, "Hey, you know, you people have been deceived. Here comes this guy from the inside. His name is Alvin A. Snyder." He says, "Yeah, hell, we were deceived by the White House. We were deceived by the CIA. And at first we were just duped, but then we became willing dupes." See, once you have the truth, once somebody explains to you how this lie has been perpetrated against you, do you stop at that point in time and say, "Hey, wait a minute, we made a mistake, let's go back and correct this," or do we continue on with the mistake to its ultimate conclusion, denying that we ever were informed of the truth? I'm reminded of this constantly. I get letters in the mail, and people will take sides, you know, one way or the other on a particular report that I make. Now, for instance, let's take the report on Christmas. Every December, I usually make a report on Christmas and report to you that in the Bible, in Jeremiah 10, there's a description of a Christmas tree, and we're admonished not to participate in it. Don't practice that. It's a pagan practice. That doesn't affect Christians one iota. You can tell them something that comes from the Bible, But that doesn't mean that anybody's going to believe it, or that they're going to act upon it, or that they're going to change anything. I mean, come on, kids, let's all grow up and get real. You're not going to change your beliefs, change your practices, because the Bible tells you this, or tells you that. I mean, you're not going to make any decisions or changes because you find out that the world has been deceived, and you're a part of the world, and you've been deceived with it. That doesn't mean you're going to believe it or act upon it. Now, Ronald Reagan, when he was making these radio broadcasts, was deceiving people into believing that he was at the stadium making these play-by-play descriptions of a ball game. That was a lie, and we elected that man president of the United States. And he comes back later and says, well, you know, I delivered the truth. Yeah, that's true. He did deliver this true fact that the shortstop picked up the ball and threw the player out at second. Yeah, that's true. But he lied when he left you with the false impression that he was at the ball game and that he was describing this as something that he'd seen, something he heard, and something that he knew. And after all, that's what lying and propaganda is all about. Now, Satan lied to Eve, but he made her believe that it was the truth. And it was over that tree episode. Let's run through that one just briefly. Let me show you how this deception works. Satan lied to Eve by telling her the truth. Satan lied to Eve by telling her the truth. And here's the way it worked. He said to Eve, has God said to you that if you eat off of that tree, you'll surely die? And she said, yes, yes. He said, in the day that you eat off of this tree, you will surely die. And Satan said, now he lied to you about that. That's not true. And Eve ate off of that tree, and she did not die that day. But that phrase that says, in the day that you eat off of that tree, you will surely die, has a dual meaning. It means, one, if you eat off of that tree on the day, June 13th, you will die within 24 hours. You will not live to see June 14th. That's one meaning. Another meaning, in the day that you eat off of that tree, you will eventually die at some point in time. Not necessarily June 13th or August 15th or this year, next year, or this decade, or this century, but you're going to die. Now, God told them the truth when he said, in the day that you eat off of that tree, you will surely die. He didn't tell them when they were going to die. He just said, you will. Now, Adam and Eve are both dead, and if they're alive, I haven't seen them or heard about them, and nobody has made any reports concerning Adam and Eve being alive today. I haven't seen one of those reports. So I'm pretty sure that Adam and Eve died a long time ago, and that God told them the truth, but Satan didn't lie to them either. He told them the truth. But he deceived them. He deceived them into eating off of that tree. And Colin Powell deceived us into going to war against the Iraqis with his presentation at the United Nations. He told us the truth. Colin Powell told the truth and deceived all of us. And after all, that's the purpose for propaganda. It's to tell you the truth and deceive you into causing you to commit an action that if you had the full facts before you, you would not make that decision. Your decision would be something different. Now, the propaganda war was fought on many fronts and included its share of heroes and goats. Ronald Reagan and Charles Z. Wick were respectively the commander-in-chief and the supreme commander in the war of propaganda. But I have attempted to focus equally on some of its foot soldiers. The strategies that both sides used were effectively shielded from public scrutiny. The U.S. government erected an iron curtain of its own around the American public, which had virtually no idea what its agencies were broadcasting abroad. When Congress established America's Foreign Information Service shortly after World War II, it wanted to ensure government propagandists couldn't brainwash domestic audiences the way Nazi propagandists had. Congress has also successfully lobbied, or was also successfully lobbied, by American broadcasters who didn't want competition from government-funded communicators. And so for nearly 50 years, there's been a ban on the domestic dissemination of broadcasts and publications produced by the USIA, which was established in 1953. Given today's sophisticated technology, however, the law cannot be enforced, and it ought to have been repealed long before this was the case. Americans should have known how America was conducting its public diplomacy abroad during the Cold War, and this book will give them, belatedly, some perspective on it. That's why I'm reporting on this book. Boys and girls, that propaganda has been leveled and aimed directly at us. The propaganda that they said after World War II that we're going to aim at the communists and those populations of people is now aimed at us. And it's aimed at us through Katie Couric. Sweet thing that she is. I mean, she comes on the air. God love her. She may believe every word she's telling you, but she's lying through her teeth. She's lying. How do I know that? I know that because she's taking government statistics and government publications and lying to us. And you can lie by omission as well as you can by commission. You don't have to lie to somebody by telling them something. You can lie to people by withholding information from them so that they will assume or they will believe something that's patently false, but which you have not communicated the true information to them. That goes on all the time. You know, you take the beginning of the Great Depression of the 21st century. Do you know when it began? August 2007. Do you know how long America has been in recession? Since at least 2001. There has not been 1 year of positive growth since 2001. Yet you've been told the economy is expanding by 3 or 4% a year. Those are all lies. Now, they're not lying to you totally. They're deceiving you, but they're not lying to you. You see, the economy is growing, but how is it growing? By the production of new money. So they print new money at the rate of 10% a year, and then the economy grows by 4% a year. Wait a minute. How does that work? Okay. Let's suppose that we're making widgets. Last year, we produced 100,000 widgets and sold them for a dollar each. So we sold 100,000 widgets and we made $100,000. This year, we raised the price of widgets 10 cents. This year, we sell $110,000 worth of widgets. How many widgets did we make? 100,000. Have we increased our productivity or our production? No. Have we increased our gross sales? Yes. By how much? 10%. We increased our gross sales by 10%. That's our gross domestic product, by simply raising the price. And that's all government's done since 2001, is to raise the level of money production, but we haven't raised the production itself. So we say our gross domestic product is growing by 4% a year, which is a lie. That's not true. We haven't produced a single new widget. In fact, we're producing fewer widgets today than we did in 2001, but we're selling more dollars worth of them. And so they lie to us and deceive us by telling us the truth. Isn't that real special? All right, let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. We are open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend will necessarily reciprocate. Most of the authors and publications cited on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. We are reviewing the book, Warriors of Disinformation, and it's put out by Alvin A. Snyder. He's the author. Now, I don't know if this book is currently in production or publication, and if you're having a problem getting them on, just go to bravenewbookstore.com, Austin, Texas. That's bravenewbookstore.com. An easy one. If you want to call them, you can call them on the telly. That's 512-480-2503. That phone number again is 512-480-2503. All right, now that's Brave New Bookstore. They're at 1904 Guadalupe Street for you people there in Austin, Texas. Suite B, Austin, Texas, and their zip code is 78705. Again, that's 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B, Austin, Texas, 78705. I put them out there from time to time so that when you have a hard time finding a book, especially one of these underground books, or hard-to-find books, you'll have a source that you can go to. Now, some readers may never have heard of the USIA, though most will recognize the Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, and Radio Moscow, and believe them to be effective means of spreading information abroad. In fact, Radio Moscow, for example, had virtually no credibility. And during the height of the Cold War, it averaged less than 1% of the listenership in those areas outside Russia where the signal could be heard. Conversely, listeners behind the Iron Curtain felt that programs from Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty were suspect because they were written and produced by dissident exiles. Now, propaganda is always more productive. It's most productive when it is least traceable. The image of America abroad was greatly damaged when Soviet-inspired stories about how the U.S. government had created the AIDS virus to kill off its African-American population surfaced in the Western media. When U.S. provided footage of Soviet atrocities in Afghanistan, when that showed up on TV in communist bloc countries, its effects were far more devastating than a decade's worth of shortwave radio broadcasts. Disinformation stories about America's Star Wars missile technology, the invasion of Grenada, the Soviet military activities in Afghanistan, as broadcast on the U.S. Information Agency's WorldNet television programs, were excerpted by foreign TV and by foreign newspapers and had far greater impact than had those stories appeared solely in U.S. government media. So let's pause there and think about that for a second. When propaganda is the most effective, it's when it's the least traceable. So when you get propaganda from Katie Couric through the spin that's put out by the White House, that's much more believable than if you were to get a publication that came from the White House. So, you know, all of us are naturally suspicious. When we hear something, we go, well, I don't know about that. Especially if it's counter to what we already believe. Just picture this. You're a Democrat. And so you hear something come out of the White House, and you say, oh, I'm suspicious about that. Or if you're a Republican and you hear something from Nancy Pelosi or from Harry Reid, oh, I'm really suspicious about that. So if you're a Catholic, a Protestant, a Jew, a Republican, a Democrat, whatever it is, you have a formed view. And then anything that counters that view, you're naturally suspicious of. So in order for us to get you to believe it, we need to get you to believe it because it came right from Nancy Pelosi, your hero. Came right from George Bush. I mean, if you can't believe your president, who can you believe? Therefore, if it isn't traceable, that is, this is called disinformation. Disinformation. Let me give you a classic case of disinformation. During World War II, there was a big buildup of war material going on in England. It was so big, you know, how in the hell do you hide millions of troops? Pretty damn hard to do. The Germans knew that there was a Normandy invasion coming. They didn't know if it was coming at Normandy or someplace else. And so, you know, military planners in Germany, they're sitting there looking, saying, well, if we were going to launch an invasion against Europe from England, where would we launch the invasion? So they said, well, Calais, that's the logical place. So, you know, they launched an invasion of Sicily. They launched an invasion of North Africa. The Allies launched an invasion of Italy at Anzio. And so these invasions, you know, they have certain value. They tell the enemy, well, they've invaded us. Well, the Germans stopped us at Anzio. I mean, there wasn't any progress made after Anzio. That was just a dead end program. And so there was an invasion coming of Europe, and the Germans knew it, and the Americans knew it, and everybody knew it. They didn't know when, they didn't know where. So while this buildup is going on, there was a spot north of London in which they took 160 acres, and they started building paper mache tanks and rubber balloon-type field guns. And plywood trucks. And the Allies were building this phantom military buildup on 160 acres, and the Germans would fly over with an airplane, and this 160 acres was really well defended. I mean, there was way more anti-aircraft guns and fighter planes protecting this 160 acres than should have been there. So when the Germans, you know, accidentally one day they flew an airplane over taking pictures, and they run into all of this anti-aircraft fire, right away it says to the Germans, Jesus, there must be something there they don't want us to see. Well, you know, as soon as you suspect that there's something that somebody else doesn't want you to see, then you want to see it even more, don't you? So one of the ploys is that this is for audiences that are mature only. Those under 18 can't come in here. Now, what is this targeting? It's targeting teenagers. I mean, you know, if you tell me that there's a movie over here for people that are over 18, you can't interest me in that movie because I'm over 18. So when you say this is for mature audiences only, right away that is targeted for 14, 15, 16-year-old kids. That's the reason that we do that. And that piques their curiosity, and they'll just do anything to get a copy of that movie, to sneak into that movie, to dress up so that they look like they're old and full of years, so they can sneak into the movie scene. So, at the same time, they've got a General Patton. Now, this General Patton slaps a soldier, and he's relieved of command. The Germans never believed for a minute that America would be so naive, so ignorant, so stupid as to take your number one field commander and relieve him of his command because he slapped a soldier. They didn't believe that story. Americans believed it, though. See, everybody else in the world, they just ate it up, hook, line, and sinker. But the German military commanders, they didn't believe it. Now, meanwhile, this General Patton, he's running around England. He's giving speeches to old ladies' clubs and one thing and another. And the Germans suspected, they believed, that since Patton was our number one field commander, that any invasion of Europe would be headed by General Patton. On this buildup that's going on north of England, the 160 acres fills up. And the Germans are really excited about this because they're flying airplanes over and then they shoot down their photo reconnaissance planes. But they don't shoot them all down. I mean, the Allies ain't stupid, you know. They let one or two of them get through every once in a while. So the Germans are getting their intelligence. Boy, they really have to struggle to get this intelligence, too. And so as they're struggling to get this intelligence, you know, through all of this anti-aircraft fire, it grows from 160 acres to 320 and then 640. I mean, this thing is now covering several square miles. And what kind of tanks and planes and all kinds of war material is being stored here? Paper mache and plywood and balloons. That's what it is. And as this is growing, the Germans believe that this is the invasion armada. Now, when the invasion takes place, remember on June 6, 1944, the Germans are in a quandary. Immediately they receive information that there's an invasion that is coming against Normandy. They're expecting it to be at Calais. So they fly their planes over this North London staging area, and all of the trucks, all of the planes, all of the equipment is still there. All of this phantom material is still there. And you know what they wanted to know is, where is General Patton? And you know where General Patton was on June 6, 1944? He was giving a speech to an old ladies' club. And when the Germans confirmed that Patton was given a speech on June 6, and that all of that war material was still there north of London, they concluded that Normandy was a fake attack. And that was fatal for them. Because they knew that they had to repel that attack. Because once a beachhead was established, they wouldn't be able to throw the Allies off. And so they delayed for about 3 days, sending their troops down there to throw that invasion force back into the ocean. And they could have done it if they hadn't been deceived. But the disinformation got them. It was the disinformation. All right, now, with that in mind, if you pay attention here, they say the best information is not traceable. You see, if the Allies had been sending propaganda messages, we're going to land at Calais, we're not going to land at Normandy, we're going to land at Calais, you know, obviously your opponent, you know, he's not stupid. And so we use information and we use disinformation. And disinformation is where you have to have a cover story. Now, the cover story, trained analysts don't believe these cover stories. The cover stories aren't for the trained analysts on the other side. They're too smart for that. Because they're spies and counter-spies. And then there's counter-spies who are spying on the counter-spies, spying on the spies who are spying on the counter-counter-spies. They call these agents and double agents and double agents and so on. And, you know, for the average Joe Sixpack, you know, we can't keep up with all these lies. And you're not supposed to. I mean, hell, if we could all keep up with these lies, then we'd always know the truth, wouldn't we? And here's this information agent. Here's this guy, the author of the book, Alvin Snyder, and he says, hell, even we were snookered by the White House and the propagandists. Now, if the paid professionals can be lied to and snookered, what chance do you and I have? And the answer is none. Zero. Zilch. Now, the best shot that we have of having a semblance of keeping our feet on the ground is from the Scripture. You see, God Himself said, I will reveal this to the wise. It was in Daniel chapter 12. And He said, the wise will understand. So when I took a look at that years ago, I said, you know, I'd like to be one of those wise guys. I'd like to see if I couldn't understand this. Now, Daniel was a pretty smart guy. He was a prophet, and you know, he was called by God to be, you know, a high echelon prophet. And in Daniel chapter 12, I'll read this to you if I can find it here. You know, I'm not a trained theologian here, so it takes me a minute to find it. Daniel chapter 12. But then, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. We're living in that era. We're living in that age when knowledge has been increased. I mean, you know, we're pretty smart people. 90% of all the scientists that have ever lived are alive right now today. That's been going on now for the last 50 or 60 years. We're turning out more and more scientists. And these scientists are getting smarter and smarter, and they're making neater and neater weapons of mass destruction. So in Daniel 12, verse 4, but he said, seal up these words. Shut up the words. Seal the book. In chapter 12, verse 9, he said, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Well, at the time of the end, then, they're going to be opened up and revealed. I mean, you know, pay attention here. You know, quit looking out the windows there, children. This is Daniel 12:9. He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed and sealed until the time of the end. And many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now the wicked, people who are wicked, people who are lawbreakers, people who do not practice the Ten Commandments, will not understand. How do I know that? God Himself just told us. Now this book is written, the Bible is written in code. And if you're gonna understand the Bible, you have to be trained in law. That's why the preachers don't understand the Bible. They're not trained in law, they're trained in religion. They are trained, paid, professional line con men. And they're good at their craft. God awful good. But they don't understand the Scripture, and if you're going to your preacher to have him explain to you what Daniel 12 means, that'll be a cold day in hell. He ain't going to figure that out. He's wicked himself. Let me show you that. Over here in Matthew chapter 7, there's a little story here about wicked preachers. In case you're just wondering here, it's Matthew chapter 7. Give me a minute here because it takes me a little time. 7:21-22, and talking about preachers, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You that work lawlessness. Crime, criminals. You know, guys like Jim Baker, Jerry Falwell, Oral Roberts, Jimmy Swaggart. You know, these are the paid professional con men. These are liars. These people don't understand the Scripture. If they understood the scripture, then they wouldn't be practicing Christmas, Easter, and New Year's. Would they? I mean, wouldn't they be keeping the Sabbath instead of Sunday? Wouldn't they be practicing the Feast of Tabernacles, the Passover, and Days of Unleavened Bread? Wouldn't they obey God and keep His commandments? And the fact that they don't tells us something about them. Jesus said, you know, you'll know them by their fruits. Just take a look at their fruits, and then you ought to be able to figure that out. You ought to be able to say, oh, this guy is a lying, false prophet. This guy is a fraud. He's a charlatan. Now, when people lie to you, it sounds like the truth. It makes all the sense in the world. It's really logical. Everybody else believes it. Why shouldn't I? All right, so one of the first clues that we get that the guy's lying to us, if everybody else believes it, it should be suspect. If everybody else believes this, then it's probably not true, or there's probably something about it that isn't true. Now, last week I showed you Professor Swift's story. 25% of everything that comes out of our mouths is false. And that's on a good day when we're trying to tell the truth and we intend to tell it all just like it is without any deception. On a good day, best we can do is 75% accuracy. That's you, that's me, that's everybody. So when somebody asks me, hey, Gordon, are you telling the truth? No. No. 25% of the time I'm lying to you. Let me give you an illustration. I'm giving you a report on a book. What if the guy that wrote the book gave me some false information and I passed the false information on to you? Does it make it the truth because I believe it's the truth? Hell, I may be the purveyor of the false information from this book through me to you. You know, everything is suspect. Let's be intelligent people. Everything has to be suspect. Now remember, it was God that revealed to us that the whole world has been deceived. So I started yesterday, I said, well, if that statement's true, if we began with that supposition, well, then you've been deceived just like I have. So if both of us have been deceived, well, then we have to go back to square one and start analyzing, well, what is it that we believe? What source of information can we believe? Is it the Democrats? Do they always tell the truth? Do they lie some of the time? Do they lie all the time? Is Nancy Pelosi such a total liar that she never tells the truth? That's not true. Now, deception comes from the truth. You have to mix lies with the truth in order to get deception. And that's what happened to the Germans here with World War II and this buildup and this disinformation. There was truth there. I mean, they had airplanes that had photographs of this big military buildup. It's just that what they were photographing wasn't real tanks, wasn't real guns. And, yeah, there was a real invasion of Normandy, but it just wasn't being led by the number one field commander that everyone thought was going to lead it. And that's the essence of this thing of spin and propaganda. It's making you believe something that is true, which is carefully calculated to deceive. All right, we're just about out of time, so I'm going to have to wrap it up here and remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and remember we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. We're going to have to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.